Yes, Brother Kenneth, when I went to turn this on this morning, I remembered I didn't tell anybody that the bulb is blown up here. If you're wondering why it's a little dark up here. Appreciate what Brother Kenneth has brought before us. And I say amen to it, because that's what we need to be doing every day. Not only should we be examining ourselves, but we also need to be reminded of how great a God we have. You know, that's one of the great blessings of the Old Testament, is go back and read of some of those marvelous displays of God's power that he gave to his people from time to time to show them that there's no God like him. No other God like him. All these other gods that those other nations worship, they're just false gods. There's nothing to them. They're just the imagination of the minds of men. But God has manifested himself to us on many occasions, and he's given much of that in the Old Testament so that we can read of those many times that God showed himself strong. And we also need to remember 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. I believe he'll still show himself strong today if we're looking to him. And when we see him strong, and when we see his glory, that gives us more desire to serve him. That gives us more desire to please him, because we know that we can't do this on our own, but God has had mercy upon us. We're not even worthy. Brother Kenneth talked about time, and we can all relate to that, that there's time that we waste, you know. But even the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, the good that I would, I do not. And that which I want, that which I would, I do not. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I was, that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our deliverance every day, continuing to look to him. When Moses got discouraged, what did he ask God to show him? He said, show me thy glory. What did God do? Did he open up the heavens so he could see great amounts of vast light and power and demonstrations of all that he is? He said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. When we are reminded of the goodness and the mercy of God, that's when we're encouraged. Now, this morning, I want to read a passage out of Joshua chapter 4. Read this recently, and it stirred my mind, and so I want to just build on that this morning. Joshua chapter 4. If you remember when God told Moses that he was about to die, and he called Joshua to lead God's people. And in the very beginning of the book of Joshua, you'll find those words where God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, I'm going to take a detour here. Why did God tell Joshua Moses was dead? Well, here's my thought. God buried Moses. Nobody knew where he was buried. So it's very reasonable to think that nobody saw Moses die. Don't you know they looked and looked? Don't you know they wondered and wondered? Was he really dead? Well, God told Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But if you read between the lines, what God is telling Joshua is, I am still alive. The same God that was with Moses is the same God that's going to deliver Joshua in all that he needs. And he even went on to tell Joshua that no man shall be able to stand before you. But it wasn't because Joshua was so great. It's because God is so great. And that's what we need to remember every day. His mercy, his goodness, his power, and his blessings upon us is because he is so great. All right, I hope you've got Joshua 4 by now. I'm going to begin reading in, I started in getting you introduced to Joshua. All right, there came the time for them to cross over into Canaan. And you remember God told them that the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant and go before the people. And as soon as their feet would touch the river, which by the way was overflowing its banks at the time, the Jordan, that the water stopped. That is, the waters above began to pile up in a heap. All right, it's like a great glass wall was there, and the waters couldn't go down any farther. They just started piling up in a heap. And the waters beyond them flowed away. And the children of Israel were able to go across on dry land. Now, you know, it's one thing to stop the water and see all the mud and the muck and all that kind of stuff and think that you got to cross that, but God dried it up. When's the last time God did that? Well, he has, didn't he? He did do that once before, didn't he? Yeah. When the children of Israel were being pursued by the Egyptians and they came up to the Red Sea, not the Reed Sea, the Red Sea, the deep one, and God parted the waters. They congealed, stood up. Now, we're not talking about five feet wide, so that, you know, there was millions of people here. There needed to be a big space for all those people to get across. Just understand the miracle. We're talking about the Red Sea. It's deep. And we're talking about millions of people needing to get across, and God parted the waters, he dried up the land, and they went across dry shod. We got a great God. We got a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And he's still the same God today. Still the same. All right, so back to Jordan. All right, the waters ran down below and the people were able to cross over. All right, that's what's just happened. And I won't get into all the other details. But Joshua chapter 4, beginning of verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jordan, Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Now you remember, they were to take 12 stones from the river and make a memorial on the other side, but they were also to make a memorial in the middle of Jordan. All right, 12 stones there as well. But the point is, God is making sure there's something here to be remembered. And that's the operative word, remembered. We need to remember, when God does something wonderful in this world, in this life, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in your personal day-to-day activities, we need to remember it. Because we need to give him some more glory. Because he's had mercy upon us. Because he's given us a deliverance. And it's by his mercy and by his grace he has given us these things. Then we need to give him glory for it. We need to give him thanksgiving for it. We need to praise his holy name for his greatness and his glory. Remember when he healed the wild Gadarean and he told him, go home to thy friends and tell him how little things the Lord had done for thee? No, God had done some great things for him and he needed to tell somebody about it. Like Sir Francis of Assisi said, you know, we need to preach the gospel everywhere we go, and if necessary, use words. Our very life should reflect thanksgiving and gratitude to God, who has delivered us, who has blessed us, who provides for us, and who someday is going to take us home to glory by his mercy and his grace. All right, getting back to this. There was something there they should remember, all right? So when your children ask, what mean these stones? Then shall ye let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. See, these same people who are going to be telling their children were the ones who were delivered across the Red Sea. All right? God intended for them to remember that. Now listen, verse 24. That all the people of the earth, how many? All the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. It was good medicine, it was good instruction for them, it's good for us today. To remember the hand of the Lord is mighty. If we think we've got a little bitty God, we might give him a little bit of praise. If our heart's filled with the things of this world and chokes out the effect of this word, we're not going to be having much room in our heart to give glory and honor and praise to our God. I guarantee it. Oh, but if we're remembering how glorious he is, how wonderful, how great is the hand of the Lord, that we might fear him. And he's not talking about being afraid. He's talking about honoring him and reverencing him and respecting his word to the point that we will do what his word says and give glory and honor. That's what the light is that we're to let shine before men. The knowledge of the glory of God, the word of God, putting it into practice and letting it show forth from our life. That's letting your light shine. And we can get that from reading the Old Testament just as much as we can get it from reading the New Testament. Now I understand that there's many things in the New Testament that are revealed to us that are concealed in the Old Testament. But bless your heart, if you've seen the New Testament, if those things have been revealed to you, you can go back to the Old Testament and you can see many things that were concealed to those people in that day, but they're revealed to us today and they bring glory and honor to our God. And it fills our heart with joy and thanksgiving and praise to the one who's mighty and who has delivered us from our afflictions. All right, so thinking of that in Joshua, I want to go back to several occasions like this because they were exhorted to remember that the hand of the Lord is mighty. All the people of the earth should know this. Now, there's a sense in which all the people of the earth, we know that you've got to have spiritual eyes and spiritual life to be able to discern the spiritual things. But I'm going to tell you something. God has shown some things that you didn't need spiritual life to see, that there was a power greater than what we possess naturally. God has done some of those things to show forth his power. All right? Let's see. Well, I've already mentioned the Red Sea, and I won't take time, but remember now, the people were fearful. They were backed up against the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was pursuing after them. But you know what? You can go back and you read around that account, and before it happened, God had said that he would show his power in Pharaoh. And he did that so that all the Egyptians would know of his great power. By the way, I will get one thing. Exodus chapter 9. Exodus 9, 16. This is what God said. You remember, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He sent plagues, and then he hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he sent more plagues. And eventually what happened was that God showed his power over everything that the Egyptians considered to be gods. God showed that he was greater, that he had power over all those things. But this is what he says in Exodus 9:16. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, talking about Pharaoh, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Do you know Paul made reference to this verse over in Romans chapter 9? See, Exodus 9:16 and Romans 9. Boy, wouldn't it have been neat if it was 9:16 as well? That's why. It's not. It's 17. Right there. 9:17. You go back to 9:16 and it says, so then is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And then the very next verse, verse 17, is what we just quoted out of Exodus 9:16. That God would raise up Pharaoh to show his power in him, that all the people of the earth would know. I tell you, those miracles that God performed in Egypt, people heard about those things. They heard about the God of the Israelites. They heard about the one, you know, Pharaoh and the Egyptians were the most powerful nation on the face of the earth in that day. And God showed himself strong over them. And people talked about it. As a matter of fact, when the children of Israel got over into the land, toward the land, at Jericho, remember? Joshua sent in some spies to Jericho. And there was a woman there by the name of Rahab. Remember Rahab? That heathen? In that heathen nation? You remember what her testimony was? We know. This sister, in this heathen nation, she knew something. They knew that God had delivered them into the hand of the Israelites. She said, our hearts did melt when we heard what you did to the kings of Zion and Og. We heard, and their hearts melted. All right? Let me see. Joshua. Let's go back to Joshua again. Trying to make this quick. I'll just read to you a little bit about what Rahab said. Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. There was something when God displayed his power over Egypt, and when God displayed his power of dividing the Red Sea and for them going across, and when the Egyptians tried to do the same thing, he closed in the waters and drowned them. And then began to deliver them from the people of the other lands. The people heard about this. And they were fearful. Now they were fearful in another respect. They realized that God had given them into the hand of the Israelites. All right? Now, let's go a little bit farther. In chapter 2, verse 24. Joshua 2, verse 24, and they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hand. This is the spies now that have come back to the camp after they had had their visit in Jericho and after they had visited with Rahab. When they came back to Joshua and gave their report, it says, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now, what does he mean by us? He doesn't mean by the Israelites' army. I mean, they weren't much of an army. They fainted because of their God. their God who had showed himself strong and had delivered them against their enemies. That's why they fainted. If you'd have been part of the Israelites at that day, and you'd seen God part the waters of the Red Sea for you, and allowed you to go across on dry land when he drowned the Egyptians after you, who were still coming after you, if you had been there at Jordan, and if you'd seen the waters parted there, and you were able to go across on dry land, that same God that delivered you across the Red Sea now was delivering you into across Jordan and into the land of Canaan that he had promised. Don't you know that you would have had great confidence in him who's able to do those things that no man could do? Who's able to defeat the greatest armies on the face of the earth? And I tell you, I just suspect they felt to be invincible. That no one could stand before them. And I'm going to tell you something. That's exactly right. With a qualified if they observed to do what God told them to do. He would continue to fight their battles. And when there's sin in the camp, they began to experience defeat. When they started ignoring the things of God and going after the things of the flesh, they began to experience defeat. But I'm going to tell you this, the promise is still with God's people that if we will observe to do what he says and live according to the way that he's given us, which is, by the way, the greatest path of peace and joy that you'll ever find this side of glory. If we'll do that, the Lord will be with us. I'm not saying you won't have any problems in the world. I'm just saying the Lord will be with you. And he'll deliver you in those times of trouble and give you what you stand in need of. All right, quickly, let's move ahead to Gideon. You remember Gideon?
Oh, yeah.
That great man of valor. That's what the angel said. Now, the angel wasn't being presumptuous. God's not that way with angels. Angels speak truth. Angels, true angels, you know, God's angels, deliver the message. They deliver the message God gave them. And that angel addressed Gideon as mighty man of valor. But we find Gideon not sure and wanting some signs. Doesn't sound like a mighty man of valor so much to us, does he? Well, through the Lord, he will be. It faithfully shows us what Gideon was by nature. But it also, excuse me, it also shows us what a mighty man of valor he was when he was trusting in the Lord. Because that's where his strength would be. All right? I don't have time to go into, you remember in the book of Judges, the story about Gideon. He assembled his army to go out against the Midianites, who were like grasshoppers for multitude. And God told Gideon, you got too many. Well, he had about 32,000, I believe. And then, so he gave them a test. I'm just going to quickly go through this. He gave them a test, and many of them went home, right? And then the Lord said, you still got too many. And so he told them to go down to the water and drink. And those that lapped, which was only what? 300? Is that how many it was? 300. Now we're talking about going out against a host of the enemy. When it got down to 300, the Lord said, okay. Can you imagine what they were thinking? Lord, we had a lot of good help. But you know, if they were thinking that, if they were been thinking the way they should, they still realized they had all the help they needed if the Lord was with them. And then the Lord told Gideon, now if you're still fearful, and evidently he was, if you're still fearful, then you take, and I've forgotten the man's name, you take him and you go spy on the camp of the Midianites. And they went out there one night and spied, and they heard two men talking. And one of them had a dream. Some was it barley or some kind of cake had rolled into the camp and rolled over one of the tents, and the tent was flat. And the other one just spoke up and said, well, that's nothing more than the sword of Gideon, that the Lord has delivered him into our hands. You know, how in the world that man got that interpretation out of that dream, it has to be that the Lord just showed it to him, because all the Lord was doing with this was giving Gideon more evidence that God was going to deliver this mighty host into their hands. Now, Gideon didn't jump up and start hollering and say, "Woo, we're invincible." He didn't do that. The first thing it said he did was he worshiped. "Oh Lord, you've had mercy upon us again. You've shown us your power." And then he went back to the camp. And then they got those strange weapons and finished that out. But my point is this: God, even though Gideon continued to be fearful, God had told him and continued to tell him he was going to deliver that great host into their hands. And it was going to be done in such a way that no one could think that it was by their might, but it was by the mighty hand of the Lord, which would cause them to fear and reverence their God. We need to be reminded of such every day. As we try to do those things which Brother Kenneth exhorted us to do, we need to remember the greatness of our God. And if we're going to trust him, then remember the one in whom we're trusting, that he is able, that he can do his will. And if we move from Gideon, Daniel. How about Daniel? Daniel's an exciting book of the Bible, isn't it? Old King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, I tell you, I just have to smile a little bit when I think about old Nebi. I tell you, when you think about how he was so prone to be lifted up in pride. For instance, chapter 3, when that great image was made and Nebuchadnezzar called in all of the important people from all the provinces in his kingdom, which, by the way, was all the known world in that day. Right? We're trying to talk about all the people of the earth knowing that God is God. And so Nebuchadnezzar called all in. And why did Nebuchadnezzar call all these people in? They were going to play some music, and they were going to bow down to an image. But what was the image? It was an image of Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, he called all the people of this of his empire, the known world in that day, called them together so they could glorify Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, don't you know he's getting ready for that? To hear all those voices, to see all those people bowing down to him. Do you remember how that turned out? There was three who wouldn't bow down. And old Nebuchadnezzar was enraged. Had him heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it was wont to be. And gave them another chance. Maybe they didn't understand. Maybe they didn't hear. You got another chance that when you hear the sound of the music, you can bow down and worship the image. They said, "O king, we're not careful to answer thee. Our God, not that image that he'd set up, not Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able to deliver us." And what happened? He commanded that they be thrown into the fire. And even the men that threw them in were consumed by the flame. But then Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, did not we cast in 3? Lo, I see 4. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And they came out. There was no smell of fire on them. They weren't singed. The fire had no power over them. Who's going to get some praise now? That Son of God that's in the fire with them. He's the one that's getting. Nebuchadnezzar was looking for some praise for himself, and God showed himself strong and showed that he had power over Nebuchadnezzar. And old Nebuchadnezzar would eventually praise and extol God. I'm leaving out a whole lot of the story and a whole lot of details, but Nebuchadnezzar himself was brought down to praise and extol the God, the King of all the earth. I tell you, you need to read that book if you haven't read Daniel lately. It's amazing how God showed his power and how so many people on the face of the earth were gathered together to see God's power being manifested. Don't you know those folks went home and told about that? To the praise and glory, not of Nebuchadnezzar, but of the God of all the earth. We need to be reminded of that so that we know who we're praising, so that we've got some energy to our praise because he's worthy of it. Nebuchadnezzar learned that lesson. The next king, later on, King Darius, remember what happened there? Those counselors tricked Daniel and tricked the king into signing a decree that went against Daniel. And when Daniel went to his quarters, as he always had done, and as he opened the windows and prayed to the God of heaven toward Jerusalem, that was in violation of that law that king had just signed, that decree. And so Daniel had to be cast into the den of lions. Old King realized he'd been tricked. That grieved him. He didn't sleep all night. Every indication we had, Daniel did quite well. In a den of lions. Not a lion's den, a den of lions. Every indication we have is that Daniel did fine. Because when the king scurried to the next morning, and they rolled the stone away, and he said, "Oh, Daniel, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions?" Well, Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever. The Lord has sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lions." Oh, God showed his power. And the men that had accused Daniel were cast in, and the lions break all their bones. And then that old king, Darius, again, over all the known world at that time, Darius made a decree that all the people of his realm would worship the God of Daniel. Not Daniel. Oh no. Daniel was careful to push the glory to God. Daniel was blessed to do some mighty wonderful things, but he always gave God the glory. We need to be reminded of how God has worked mightily on behalf of his people. The same God that appeared to Moses and Joshua and Gideon and Rahab, the same God that dealt with all the characters in the book of Daniel, is the same God today. That's our God. He's mighty to save. And our God made a way that he could visit the earth. Remember the prophet Isaiah said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God, somebody's read the New Testament. Because the New Testament tells us that that word Emmanuel means God with us. And so God came to be with us in the person of his son when he was born in this world. Remember the angel told Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And what a glory it is for us to understand that his people, his people, just like he showed in a natural sense his care for the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Bless your hearts, the New Testament tells us that this people that he's talking about are those that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus came to save that people from their sins. He died on the cross. He did that when God visited the earth in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And he did it in great power and great glory. Now, if you don't have a spiritual mind and if you don't have spiritual eyes, you don't understand. You might look at the cross and see a picture of defeat. Bless your hearts, if we understand what God was doing, we see the greatest victory that has ever been won. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Bless your hearts, that's what Jesus did. He won the greatest victory. That's the greatest display of God's power that you'll ever see. We have victory over death. And as often as we have to be confronted with death in this life, bless your hearts, the more we can remember the one who has power over death, the more we can remember the one who came and suffered and died for us, that we won't have to die and be separated from him forever. Bless your hearts, one more we can remember how God has manifested his power so many times in the past, and the greatest display of that power was on the cross when Jesus paid for our sin debt. The more we can remember those things, bless your hearts, the more honor and praise we'll give, that all the earth may know. God has a people in every nation, kindred, and tongue. The unregenerate will never give him glory. The unregenerate doesn't see his power. The unregenerate doesn't feel his love. But his people who have his spirit, who know that he's God, and who know that Jesus Christ is his son. And by the way, let me close with that. John 17. John 17. I'm going to ask you a question before I read these verses. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Absolutely.
If you do, sincerely, in your heart, if you have that understanding, then listen to this promise that Jesus gave us, our high priest. Not only was he the high priest, he was the offering as well to save us from our sins. All right? And fulfilling all the Old Testament. All right, John chapter 17. Hope you got there by now. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Do you hear that? That's the doctrine of election. Any sincere reader of these words would have to admit, all right, that what he says here is that Jesus, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou, God, Jesus is praying to the Father. And he's saying, Father, you gave me some people. And so the only ones that are going to have eternal life are those Jesus gives eternal life. And they are the ones the Father had given to him so that he could give them eternal life. Not one more and not one less. Are you one of them? Are you? Keep reading. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Or the Old Testament language said, God of all the earth. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know him? If you do, you have eternal life. It's as plain as that. We're not talking about if you've accepted him, if you've received him, if you've done this, if you've done that, if you've followed the recipe, if you've done everything that's required. No. There was a people given to Christ. Jesus came to save them. If you're blessed to know him, it's because he has given you life. And if he has given you life, it's eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Could that be any plainer? God sent him to do something, and he did it. He finished it. He didn't take it part way and leave it for us to finish. He finished the work. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glory that he had with thee before the world was. This is the eternal Son of God, who was with the Father in glory before the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he came and dwelt among us to save his people from their sins. And he did it. Praise be to his holy name. The more we remember of who he is and what he has done, the more energy we'll have in giving praise and honor and glory to his matchless name. And the more we will fear him in the sense of reverence and regard for his word, that we would do what he says to be in fellowship and communion with him and enjoy the peace and happiness that we can have in this life. As we make our way, troubles will come, but if we have him with us, if we're serving him faithfully, bless your hearts, he'll give us the strength and grace we need to face every trial and to see that he is glorious at all times, that he is all-powerful, and that he loves us. He has saved us. He continues to save us each day by providing what we need. He sustains us. We are preserved in Jesus Christ. And someday Jesus is coming back to gather up all for whom he died and take us home to be with him forever, where we'll never have another trouble, never have another sorrow, never have another heartache. But we'll be able to praise him as we ought, the God of all the earth. May God bless you is our prayer.